Good evening. Parashat Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov Miber Shava Vayelech Haran. First of all, we have to understand why is the Torah telling us again that Yaakov is leaving Be'er Sheva, going to Haran. At the end of the last parsha, the Torah told us that that's what he is doing. As it's written in the end of the parsha, Vayishma Yaakov el aviv ve'el imo ve'elech paden ha'aram. He listened to his father and mother and went to Padan Aram. Here we have to learn an interesting lesson. First of all, the Torah is telling us that he's getting out of Be'er Sheva and is going to Haran. There are three kinds of journeys. One journey is the important is where you, what the place you left. For example, somebody been in jail and he is being released. So when you're going to ask him, what are you doing here? I say, I just left jail. And the important thing for him is that he left jail. It's not so important where he's going. The important message is that he is free. There are journeys that the important thing is where I'm going to. For example, if I want to go to Kivrei Tzadikim in Tzfat. So if somebody asks me, what are you doing here? I'm going to Tzfat to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's not important that I'm leaving Ra'anana or Petach Tikva or wherever I've been. What is important in this journey is where I'm going. It can be I go to a concert. So what is important is
the concert,
where I'm going to. And there are kind of journeys that everything is important. The place you left, the place you're going to, and the journey itself. And the truth is that in our journey in life, everything is important. It's important to know that we came from heaven, the neshama. And it's important to do the way we're doing here, the journey itself, that we have to go through life, doing mitzvahs. And of course it's important that we have to get back to heaven after we fixed what we have to fix here. Also in the case of Yaakov, it is important to understand that he leaves Be'er Sheva because he was a tzaddik, and Rashi says when a tzaddik leaves the place, people realize that something is missing. Unfortunately, a lot of times when the tzaddik is in town, nobody realizes what he's doing for town. But when he leaves, suddenly we realize what he has done. And it's also very important to know that he's going to Haran, because he's going to find a wife to build the Jewish nation. Also, another important thing is, when we look at the end of the last parsha, is written, in Pasuk Zayin, like I think three psukim before the end of the parsha, Vayishma Yaakov, and Yaakov listens to his father and to his mother. Yes, you see it? The Torah could have told us that he listened to his parents. Why is the Torah telling us that he listened to his father and to his mother? If you remember, Rivka is approaching Yaakov and telling him, your brother wants to kill you. You're better off run away from here. Then she tells her husband, Yitzhak, I don't want him to get married here with one of the local girls. I want him to go to my family and find a good girl. Yeah. So Yaakov is sending him to get married. Yaakov is doing both. He listens to his mother running away from Be'er Sheva, and he listens to his father going to get a wife. So this is why the Torah is telling us, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. When he went out of Be'er Sheva, he listened to whom? To his mother, running away from Be'er Sheva. When he's going to Haran, he's listening to his father, going to get married. So, yes?
He's running away. On the way, you're running away. Might as well get a wife.
Go by yeah, son. Well. So, we see that everything has got a reason. So, the Torah is not just telling us, because the Torah already told us. And the Torah is not mentioning both places just like for the sake of the nice writing. It's telling us a story. There are a lot of other explanations, but we leave it for now.
You know, what is yes. Also, one of the questions that we planned for you
yeah.
is that the angels went up to heaven. The top eight. And the other angels who were less important came down to take care of Yaakov when he leaves the land. So you mean when you leave Israel, you need superior angels or lesser angels?
We'll get there in a minute. We are just there in a few minutes. When we understand it, the first thing is Vayifga b'makom. What is Vayifga b'makom? What is the explanation there you've got?
Makom.
Vayifga b'makom. What is Vayifga b'makom? Vayifga, it's like he hit the place, if you understand what I mean. Okay. Vayifga.
Well, it says here he encountered.
He encountered.
Yeah, but Vayifga is like it's a strong word.
Yeah.
And they never say them. What's the name of the makom? They just call them all the time makom.
That's because it's a famous place. That's why it says Vayifga b'makom. You have to understand what we're talking about.
No,
that's the place where the temple is. That's Har HaMoriah. That's where was Akedat Yitzchak. That's where Avram had brought his sacrifice. That's where Adam HaRishon brought the sacrifice. That's the same place. That's HaMakom.
That's the place.
That's to understand this is the most important place. And now in this important place, Yaakov Avinu is discovering his mission, his real mission. Because, you know, he is now being, as our sages say, 14 years in a yeshiva. Shem ve'ever.
Now yeah, how did they get the name? Where is the name of the yeshiva? They have the name. I mean,
how did they know that he was there 14 years?
For 14 years?
Yeah.
Rashi, at the end of the last parsha, does the calculation. And if you go through the calculation, you will find out that there are 14 years missing. And those 14 years missing is where that he went to the yeshiva.
Okay.
Now, how do we know he went to yeshiva? It's like the same way. How do we know that the sukkah has to build in the same way? We have to understand and realize Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the same holiness as the Torah Shebichtav. It's the same thing. The oral Torah is as important as the written Torah. It's the same thing. But
yeah.
And if you want to go even deeper, so if we know how. When you look through the Gemara, you find out that everything is built on the Torah that is written.
Yeah.
It's in there. From the way it's written, from the way it's being marked with all the signs, the Torah is telling us a story in a story. We'll come in, I think next week we will see how when you take the words and you divide them in a different way, you find out inside the sentence the answer to the question. It's unbelievable. That's the Torah.
Yeah.
Now, I am not at the level of explaining or understanding how exactly Chazal found out that he was 14 years in with Shem and Ever. But definitely there's something sure, but then you do a calculation and there are written the ages, you will find out that there are 14 years missing. And we also know that when he came back from the Akedah, one of the opinions says that he didn't come back with Avram. It's not written that he came back. So where did he go? And when Rivka is going to ask who are those children in my belly, like rowing and disturbing my rest? What's happening there? She's also going to ask for God. Where is she going? To Shem Be'ever. That's the yeshiva. Now, that's not what is important now. The important thing is not the name of the yeshiva. The important thing is now he has to do a job. And he comes from 14 years learning. And it made him a very spiritual man. And now he is being told to get a wife, to build a home. Now, I'm asking you, if I want to find a good girl to marry,
get a shadchan.
And if I haven't got a shadchan, where would I go? I'll give you a few options. I'll give you a few options. Nightclub, Sodom and Gomorrah,
the beach,
the university,
symphony concert,
a bar,
okay. Okay, so we all understand that if I want a good girl, I will, if the options are a bar, a club, and a university, where would I go?
University.
If the option is going to Tachana Merkazit in Tel Aviv, to this area, to find a wife, or to go to Yerushalayim to find a wife, where would I go?
Yerushalayim.
Now, Yaakov is going where?
His mad family.
What family is this? Tzadikim?
No.
What place is it?
So
he's asking himself, what's going on here? I'm being sent to the most impure place in the world with Lavana Rasha to find a wife? That's the right place to go?
Yeah, but his mother came from there.
So,
but wasn't Lavana his mother's
brother? He still has the problem. He wants to know how is he going to go through it? Think about it. You're going to go to a place where the people are running after their desires. It's not a spiritual place at all.
But Canaan probably isn't either.
Of course, yes. I'm not saying it is or not.
But he's got that spirituality.
I'm just telling you that Yaakov has a problem.
Sorry, was Laban was his mother's brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
His uncle.
His uncle.
But he was well known. Not as a nice guy.
No.
Mm-hmm. But his mother came out okay.
Yeah, but still, you know, we have to understand what's going on here. You know, I wouldn't think about sending my son to a place where I know that I have problems. I would look for another place. Mm-hmm. By the way, we're talking about the Shivat Shem Ve'ever. Why didn't he have girls?
Why didn't he send
them? Yeah, exactly. Why didn't he send him? Go to Shivat Shem Ve'ever, find one of the scholars there, if he's got a daughter, and take her and get married. I think it's a better idea.
Definitely.
But that's not what's happening. So now, he stops on the way, says, 1 minute, what's going on here? So God brings the son down, lets him sleep, and he dreams the most famous dream in the Bible. And it is the most famous dream. It's a basic dream. All the whole Kabbalah is built on this dream. The connecting between heaven and earth. This letter which is standing on earth, going up to heaven. And that's our job, to go up this ladder. And this, what the God is telling him, where is this ladder? This ladder the Torah is telling us in Pasuk.
It's in the Makom.
Yes, in Pasuk Yud. Okay, I'm going to use the other. In Pasuk Yud Bet, Pasuk 12. Vayachalom, ve'ine sulam utzav arza ve'rosho magia shamayma. What is his dream? He sees a ladder which is standing where?
On the earth.
On the earth. And where is the top?
It reaches the heaven.
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 So now look what's written here. It's not written that the ladder comes from heaven to earth.
No, it's going from earth to heaven.
They reach the heaven first and then go down.
And where is it? Right on earth. Onkelos explains Na'utz be'ara, it's inside, stuck in earth. inside, not just standing there, stuck inside.
Yeah, they use that as a foundation.
Now, what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu trying to tell Yaakov? He says, you come with all your spiritual ideas, and you think that the best place to find a wife would be a very spiritual place. And I'm telling you, that's not your job. Your job is going to the lowest place there is and elevate the place and the girl and yourself with all the problems. Start climbing the ladder. And this is the only way, if you start from down there, to get up there. The sulam is standing in earth, and then if you standing with your legs on earth and connecting yourself, what's happening? Then the top is in heaven, and who is standing there? God himself. God himself is standing there. This is unbelievable to understand what the Torah is trying to tell us in this dream. Our job in life is to live physical, materialistic life, but take those life, that life, and elevate it. Whatever we do, and it doesn't matter where we are, even if we are at the lowest point, even if we are in Tachana Merkazi Tel Aviv, and even if we are abroad somewhere that there are no Jews, wherever we are, God is there with us. And the ladder is also there. The only thing we have to do is climb the ladder. Now you would say, it's very easy to say, but you know, I have to climb up there. But that's not what the Torah is telling us. The Torah is telling us, Malachi Elokim, coming to the angels, Olim Ve'Yordim Bo, they're going up and down. So first of all, the first question is, normally, if we're talking about angels, where do they come from? From heaven. So first of all, the Shuddha said, and the angels are going down and up, not up and down. So Rashi is explaining that the angels of Eretz Yisrael that were escorting him till now left and went up to heaven, and angels for Chutz La'aretz came down to escort him in Chutz La'aretz, abroad. So there are different angels. And what was your question?
Will you want the angels to be reversed? If I'm going to Chutz La'aretz, I will need greater...
You are asking what angels are better? Or what is the difference between angels of Eretz Israel and angels of abroad? That's the question, yes? Yeah, okay. The answer is that, first of all, this is one of the explanations. In a minute we'll see what the Torah is really trying deep inside telling us. But we have to understand that when we talk on Eretz Israel and we're talking Chutz La'aretz, it's two different places. In other words, the quality and qualification that we need in Eretz Yisrael are different than what we need in Chutz La'aretz. Where is a better place? We all know, in Eretz Yisrael. But unfortunately, sometimes we have to go abroad. And maybe those angels have got special powers to help Yaakov in his way abroad. A special power that he doesn't need when he's in Eretz Yisrael. We can imagine also that, you know, those angels from Eretz Israel are not suitable to escort him in abroad because they are used to the holiness of Eretz Israel. They wouldn't stand the life or to do the job they have abroad. So that's why the Torah is telling us, one of that they are, those angels are living and there are other angels coming in. But this is very interesting and very nice, but it doesn't exactly tell us what we should do with this story with the letter. The real truth is that we believe that who is doing everything in this world?
Hashem.
Hashem. But God is revealing himself and telling us, you are mistaken. Yes, I do everything. But you know who makes me do all those things?
We.
The deeds we do, God gave us the will. He gave it the will. Okay, it's my car, it's my engine, it's everything mine. But I give you now the will, and whatever you're going to do with the will, that's where I'm going to lead the world. In other words, if I do a good deed, a good angel is being created. And he goes up
with you,
with the good things I did, and brings down all the good to this world. Unfortunately, if I do something bad, so a bad angel is being created. And he also goes up. And he also comes down, but this time he comes with not such nice things. So the lesson is, we are really the cause of everything that is happening in this world.
To ourselves directly.
ברוך אתה אדוני מחולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
אמן.
To the whole world.
So it's a collective.
It's not exactly. It's not only you.
We want people.
Exactly.
So we all
whatever we do, it's got an influence on everybody.
So it can affect innocent people, and then
of course,
us.
Of course.
That's what we've got to realize.
Now, this is how do we even get to this idea that the angels that are we talking here are the good deeds of the man? Because when we look, we see Malachi Elokim. Olim v'yordim bo. The angels of God are going up and down. What's the explanation now? What's bo?
Yeah.
Let's see what the translation would be in English.
Where is it?
Pasuk 12. Pasuk Yudbet. The end of the Pasuk, Malachi Elokim, Olim v'yordim bo.
See, this is the angels of God were ascending and descending. They were going up.
Where?
On the ladder.
What is bo? Bo. Yeah, but here is written another word. It's not only Olim v'Yordim. Bo. What is bo?
Yeah. On it.
So I'll ask you. You know a little Hebrew. If bo. I want to say in Hebrew on it, what would I say? Alav.
Okay.
Not bo.
Yes.
Bo is inside.
Yes.
Bo.
Come.
In no, not bo.
Bo is inside. Come would be with Aleph.
When we say bo, the angels are malachim bo. So the angels are inside him. Bo. They're in it. The word is written in the book. Hamilah ktuva basefer.
In the book.
The word is written in the book. So here is written that the angels are going in the ladder. What does it mean in the ladder? On top of the ladder. So the explanation says, because he cannot explain bo. So what does he say? On top of the ladder. But that's not what's written. The word Hebrew to say on top of the ladder or climbing would be alav. Not bo. From this word we learned that the ladder and the angels, where are they? Inside us. Inside Yaakov and inside each one of us. Inside each one, there is this ladder. And we are going and climbing on it.
The angels are, but that's our soul. That's
of course. Yes. You have to understand that everything that's happening inside is happening outside. And what we see outside is really happening inside. That's the way it is. It's very hard to understand sometimes. But what we have to understand the simple way, that those angels are our creation. And we make them, we build them, and we create them. And it depends what we do. If we do good, those angels are going to bring good to the whole world. If we're doing bad, those angels are going to be bad. Now, that's not the only lesson. Say, Malachi Elokim Olim V'Yordim Bo. In life, we have ups and downs. And sometimes, you know, when you're up, it's very easy to be confident and go on with life and enjoy life. But if you're down, you're depressed, and sometimes you stop doing things because you're in depression. So the Torah is telling us that even if you're on the ladder, sometimes you go up and sometimes you go down. But it doesn't matter. As long as you're on the ladder, even if you go down, who is on top of the ladder? In Elohim, God is there. In other words, the only thing we have to be concerned about is to be on the ladder. And in the minute we're on the ladder, in other words, if our idea in life is in the direction of heaven, even if sometimes we go down, doesn't matter. As long as we're still on the ladder. But when we leave the ladder, that's it. It's finished.
It's hard to get back again.
Of course. But we have to understand that the ladder is everywhere. As we said in the beginning, doesn't matter where we are, the ladder is with us. We just have to go on top of it. And when we go on top of it, we go up and down. There are a lot of other explanations, but I think for now, we leave the ladder and we go a little farther into the parsha.
Also, when he fell asleep, he had 12 stones and then they became one stone.
Yes, one of the explanations is that those 12 stones are the 12 tribes.
Yes.
And we're talking about night. Night is the galut. Night is when we are in the bad situation. We are still on exile. And when the morning will come, otherwise it's not going to come. In the morning we have to be together. If we want the morning to come, we have to be united. The 12 tribes have to be united to one. Now in Pasuk Kaf, Pasuk 20, God is...
That's the difficult problem. Here he's working a deal with Hashem. If you do this, this, and this, then maybe I'll believe in you. If you want somebody to do something for you, you would work the opposite. I will do A, B, C, and D. Hopefully then you'll do something for me. You don't tell him to do it before you return the reciprocal or whatever you want.
But there's some discrepancy. You say it's the Har HaBayis fell asleep, but then it says in 20 it's Beit El.
Same thing. He called it Beit El, the house of God.
I'm just thinking of the present Beit El. It's
no, no. No, it's not the same.
I see.
It's the house of God.
I see. Just got me mixed up. Give us the name Beit El.
But the name of the city was Luz.
Your question is, how is it that Yaakov is doing conditions with God? Like he's doing a negotiation. You know, if you're going to keep me, I'm going to do this or that. But we have to look very carefully what's going on here. He says, in Pasuk 21, if I'm coming back in peace, Vehaya Hashem li l'Elokim, God is going to be my Lord. And this is very strange. What does he mean?
If he dies, then it's not his Lord anymore.
What do you mean? Ma, if I'm not going to successfully, you're not my God.
That's what I mean.
What is he really
he's
saying?
Like making bargains with God.
He doesn't. And this is Yaakov Avinu.
I know. Abraham never. You know.
But let's
God
see.
God came to me, accepted him, and that was it.
Let's see what's going on here. We are here calling God in two different verses. One is Hashem, and the other one is Elohim. And if you remember, Hashem is a symbol of mercy of God. Chesed. Hashem is Chesed. Elohim, that's judgment. That's din.
So it depends which name they use.
So what is really Yaakov Avinu saying?
He's asking.
He knows God created this world, how? With chesed or with din? With mercy or with judgment?
With mercy.
He wanted to create the world in judgment, with din. Then he saw that it's not going to be...
Work out.
It's not going to work out. So what did he do? He put together with the din, the chesed. And we talked about it in the past. Yeah. So now what does it mean? It means like this. If there is din, judgment, it means that whatever I do wrong, I'm getting punished on the spot. Severely. Doing sin against God, doing a sin against the king, there's only one sentence. You'll be killed. When you involve with judgment also mercy, chesed, it means that you can be more tolerant and not kill the guy if he did one sin, giving another chance or giving the opportunity as God gives us to do tshuva. That's the chesed of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Normally, this is the way God acts, because otherwise, nobody could go through life. Nobody can be 100% perfect. Okay? So we need the chesed. What is Yaakov Avinu saying? If I'm coming back, I want you to behave with me in what way?
Mercy.
No. Vaya Hashem. And God, which is mercy, will be my Lord as a judgment, judge, din. In other words, he's saying a great thing here. He's saying, I know the way you created the world, and that's the way it should be, because otherwise nobody can go through it.
I want you to be with me.
But if you are with me, I'm promising you, it's not a condition, I am promising you that when I come back, I'm going to take it on myself that you are going to behave with me with no mercy. This is... Nobody can do this. But that's what Yaakov Avinu is saying. That is the highest level a human being can get. You know who else got to this level? Rabbi Akiva. When they were torturing him, he said, all my life I waited for this moment.
Yeah.
What does it mean? Because this is the highest level you can get. That's Midat Adin. So in other words, it's not a condition with God. It's more as a promise. That if you're going to go with me, of course God is God and Yaakov Avinu believes in God and he does what God tells him to do. But now he's saying something else. He's saying, if I'm coming back, you will be my God with no mercy, in other words. You will behave with me at the highest level there is, which is not a normal level. And we ourselves, I don't think we should even consider thinking about asking a thing like this. We will ask mercy. There is another interesting thing here. He is saying, and God will give me bread to eat,
yeah,
and clothes to wear. And this sounds very humble and very like, that's what you're asking from God, that's all. What is, why don't you ask for to be healthy? For example. We say, Aikara Briut, we all say. Mm-hmm. People can have a lot of money and they're ill. So, but this is really what, you know what Yaakov is saying? Something very clever. He's not saying, give me bread and clothes. What is he saying?
Keep me covered.
give me bread to eat and clothes to wear. In other words, I want to be healthy, that I can eat the food, not only getting the food,
and wear
the clothes, not being ill in bed when I cannot eat and I cannot wear my clothes. That was his saying. In other words, he's asking everything in a modest way, in a right way. He says, I want to be healthy and I will be provided with what I need. And that's it. Because we might think that Yaakov Avinu hates money, hates profit, but we all know that in the end of the parsha, he comes with a big fortune. He's a millionaire. So this is not exactly the picture, give me food, bread to eat, and clothes to wear. Yeah, this is give me millions. Sorry?
When he left, he wasn't...
Yeah, the question is not. The question is it good to be wealthy? Or is it
not? Why
not?
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If you know what to do with your wealth, of course it's good. Because you see, Yaakov, he gets everything. He gets a fortune. And whatever Laban is trying to do to him, he's finding a way to pay him back. So it's nothing wrong with being rich. As long as you behave like Yaakov and you understand what you're doing with all your richness. What you're doing with the money. What you're doing with your property. That's the important point. And that's the big lesson. We will see the next parsha. He's going back for some small stuff that he left. To tell us, whatever you get from God is important. Even money. Yes, money. You cannot just take your money and spend it on whatever you want. Who gave it to you? God. The king gave you. What are you going to do with it? Just waste it? Or use it in a proper way? So what is Yaakov telling us? Nothing wrong with working. You see, we see how he works for Laban. And it's nothing wrong with being rich. As long as you know what to do with it.
And where it's coming from.
And where it's coming from.
My sister has some neighbor in her, where she lives. And he's very, very wealthy. And he always says that whatever he has comes from God. And we have to do this. You know, he does a lot of charity. And he says, it's not my money. God gave me to use it for this.
Exactly. And that's one of the most important lessons from our parsha. We see Yaakov Avinu, which is really the symbol of what you should do. He is working, is doing very well, is going through hell sometimes, but he goes through it. He manages to be successful in any situation. And he understands where it comes from. And when he's asking, he's not asking to be a millionaire. Is asking to be healthy and to have what a man needs. And whatever he's got is for him 100%. As he says to Esav in the next parsha, or the next two parshas, he says, I have everything. But nobody in life has everything. No, depends how you look at life. What Yaakov is telling us, I have everything that I need. And that is everything. If you realize that what God gives you is everything that you need, you have everything. You don't need anything else. So now, after we went through a few things in the parsha, if you have any questions, we heard a few questions already, but you have any other questions?
We studied.
Meg did homework.
Why not? That's very good. That makes the lesson more interesting.
When he goes to the well.
Yes.
I don't remember where it is, but
it's in the beginning. Oh, not in the beginning, sorry. It's after the dream. After the dream.
So he says he's looking for lava.
Yes.
And he asks three times he says, my mother's brother.
Mother's brother.
He keeps repeating
the daughter.
My mother's brother.
Mother's brother.
Why my mother?
Yeah,
we'll find it. We'll find it.
Now you love the son of Nahor.
But why is it? Why do they call it the land of the? Doesn't say Haran in the beginning, in chapter 29.
What does it
say? Yelech atza b'nei kedim. The sons of the east or Kedim.
29.
Yeah, that's where it was. It's like a different description of the same place.
Why didn't they say Haran?
They want to tell it because whatever there is always a message. When you go north or you go east, or you go, I think there is a message, a spiritual message.
Uh-huh.
But you say Mitzafon tifatach hara'ah, that's what we say. From north, the bad things are coming.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Mizrach, east, that's where the Shechina is. Mm-hmm. So every description has got a meaning. But we'll go first of all with this question.
Is
yes.
Kuftet Pasakir.
Okay.
He keeps talking, but of course the Torah does not worry, waste
but
words.
He keeps saying it.
He keeps saying his mother's brother, his mother's mm-hmm. brother.
You see, he knows exactly who Lavan is. And you know that Lavan is a crook that knows how to play all the games of the world. And he knows that he has to, in a certain way, make sure that Lavan realizes that he knows how to play the game.
Yeah.
So that's why he's saying all the time,
reminding you,
he is my mother's brother. Don't forget I'm from the same family. Now, if you think that you can't play games with me, I am from your family. I know your games. And it comes to the spotlight when look how Lavan behaves to him. Lavan comes and runs to him.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's got money. Why? Because if you remember when Abram sent Eliezer, the slave, to find a wife for Yitzchak, his son, he sent him with 10 camels full with goodies. And he thought now the son himself is coming. He would come with a fortune. But unfortunately, it comes with nothing because the son of Esav on the way took everything from him because his father Esav sent him to kill him. And when you are poor, you're considered as dead. So he loved Yaakov. He didn't want to kill him. So Yaakov told him, take everything I've got and I'm poor. And when I'm poor, you can tell your father you killed me. I'm dead. So he comes to Lavan with nothing. Lavan hugs him and does a search on his body. There's nothing there. Kisses him on the lips, maybe diamonds, nothing there. Says, no, what can I do? I'll take him. Now, when he takes him, listen what's going on here. He